Sam.
I'm Michelle.
Dr. Kavanaugh, critics.
Opinions from people who aren't even in the business.
Movies.
Music.
TV.
And more. Or buy it from a store. Couple of critics.
Couple of critics.
Couple of critics.
Couple of critics.
You aren't a Christian?
She's not a Christian!
Gargoyles!
Gargoyles! What was that on? What was that like?
It was like
Wife Swap.
Wife Swap.
Wife Swap.
Or Trading Spouses. I know it was Trading Spouses.
They're evil!
Fucking psycho. Meanwhile, while that woman was screaming about how they're all demons and gargoyles and they're not of Jesus, she looked possessed the entire time.
She exists still and she has a TikTok page.
Didn't she like calm down a little bit though?
Well, yeah.
Didn't she have like a gay kid eventually or something?
She had a daughter who died.
Oh. Yeah. Became gay. That's what they call that when they're in the Christian world.
You are dead to me. God. Welcome to Couple of Critics Podcast. As aforementioned, or I am the aforementioned Michelle.
I am the never before mentioned or seen Sam.
Everyone sees you. This morning you posted a picture of yourself naked on Facebook.
Mostly naked.
Naked. Just because you scratched some stuff out doesn't mean that you weren't naked when you took the picture. You have a naked picture of yourself on your phone.
It's so fun. I do. I'll delete that soon. Don't worry. I don't need to open up that thing and be like, ah.
I will never delete the naked picture that I have of, is it Kevin McDonald and Dave Foley? From the... Kids in the Hall.
Kids in the Hall when like, they did that. The very first scene they did when they came back after all these years, and it's them just totally fucking full frontal nude.
I remember seeing that, my jaw dropped, and I was so happy to see Dave Foley naked.
You like nerdy, dumpy people so much.
News Radio, Dave Foley was so adorable.
Oh, look at dude.
And Foley. When he was in It's Pat. And he was dressed as a woman.
Was a woman? He was basically a Pat, too.
I have always loved Dave Foley.
Do you think they did that because they're like, well, the Kids in the Hall guys can't stay out of dresses anyway, so let's just hire Dave to put a dress on.
It feels like they just decided to take it up a notch.
Yeah.
And I recently watched him in the last season of Fargo. So
Was he good in that?
He was amazing.
That's good.
And he got killed.
Good. Finally, someone takes Dave Foley out of the knees.
And it made
besides his ex-wife.
It made me feel uncomfortable for days and days. Dave Foley's death in season 5 of Fargo.
Interesting. Was it like brutal or something?
He got shot.
Spoiler. All that was spoiler.
Please. If you guys watch Fargo, you've already watched it. John Hamm is amazing.
You know who I had a naked picture of on my phone for a long time?
Joey Diaz. Did you delete it?
Different phone.
Oh, see, I transfer everything over.
Oh, no. I have a certain, dislike for certain things that are quite, convenient in reality, but for some reason, I'm like, no, you get a new phone, everything starts over. Fuck that shit.
I have too many animal pictures that I'm not willing to lose. Like, clearance pictures.
I totally get it. I'm the psycho in this one.
I don't think it makes you psychotic.
It does, because there's certain conveniences that I just go, no, because I don't. If I lose my phone, I lose my fucking phone. That's how it is.
Okay, I have to say something.
Is my hair fun?
Your hair is at the length, and you don't sit. You never just sit your headphones on your head. You put them on and you push them back. So you always have this fucking Karen hair where it sticks up in the back.
What do you mean?
Well, that's insane.
Now I gotta get a good game.
Now it's insane because it's really showing your receding. You're not bald. You're not even a little bald. You just have a slightly receding hairline.
I know. I go to extreme for comedy reasons. I'm actually a pretty nice specimen. See?
Specimen.
Now that doesn't work.
Specimen.
Was that the word that made it ultra disgusting?
Specisam.
I'm a Specisam.
So we are our podcast, and we have the Night Crew with us every single episode pretty well, even though Clem will get up and leave like she
night
does.
Night Crew plus Paul.
He's just walking through.
Let the See? Man.
I showed you. He literally just walked through.
It's like you commanded him to. No. I just see his butt now.
Yeah, he's still standing there. Why are we talking about cats? We should be talking.
Because we both like cats a lot.
Cats
we have
a lot.
Fucking four of them. If we had the facilities and the time and the money, we'd probably have, I don't know, 604?
I'd have a cat farm. Cat farm. I'd get them all fixed so they don't multiply.
Right? And get them all checked out. That's what I'm saying. There's more. We don't even get our cats checked out enough. Imagine if we had more than...
Well, they're all healthy. Yeah. Anytime something comes up, like Kit Kat coughs too much, I took him to the vet and it turns out he just has bad hairballs and I just changed the food and it's better.
Yay, good job. And got him some of that Cadillac stuff, which is delicious.
He also is the only cat who cleans every other cat's head in this house. So he has like...
extra hair?
He's taking in fur and he is the furriest of the cats in the house. So that poor guy, that poor three-legged beauty.
It's like he was set up to be a hairball monster.
He's such a sweetheart, so he's willing to help everybody out. And he just has to suffer, I guess.
And he's the one who's got the most deficiency out of all of them.
With
the missing fucking leg.
And maybe that's why he knows he can handle it. He can take on everyone else's pain.
You don't know what I've been through. All right, did you explain to people what we do here?
I just said we're a review podcast. Okay, cool. I think that's enough. Each week we give each other something, we ingest it, and then we come and we discuss it.
And we're married, for those who still don't know that. She sounds very excited about it.
It would be weird to... I think we have a vibe that we're clearly together.
Or
like
just
how mean you are
or
to
just
me?
Really good friends that cheat on their spouses.
Okay, that's awful. I don't like that. We are definitely good friends, though. I think you're definitely my closest friend.
You're definitely my closest friend.
And I think it's weird when people are like, you shouldn't say that your spouse is like your best friend, because that's stupid. Like, I also have other best friends outside of you. But you're like my favorite human, and I spend the most time with you. I tell you the most things.
I think that the word best friend is weird in itself. You're my best friend.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it sounds
true.
Very childish. I have many friends. It's just like, well, I spend the most time with you. You're going to have a person you spend the most time with. And if you're married, it's probably going to be your wife, especially if you like your wife.
Sam, I think that you should be more open to other communities, like the homosexual community.
I'm very open.
Because you
to
just
that.
Made an assumption that made me uncomfortable.
What was the assumption that I made?
That if you're married, it's probably
your
wife.
If you are a straight cis male. I'm speaking in generalities.
God, I
here.
Hate that so much. every time I've seen that, I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
Your general spouse. I mean, that's probably the person you spend the most time with, whether that be a man or a woman or they.
If your person that you're choosing to spend your life with isn't someone that you would consider a friend, I think that that's
a problem. I would agree. I would absolutely agree. But I also have other friends. You have other friends. You have people that you would call your best friends. You would call me your husband before you would call me your best friend, right?
I would, but I would just explain you as...
I just happen to be your best friend.
Yeah, you're my favorite human.
Clem, stop. Thank you.
This dog needs some training.
She needs an attitude adjustment. It's
fun. Yeah. Two snaps and a twist. Girl, you need an attitude adjustment.
People are allowed to exist outside of this house, Clem. I swear, it's okay.
Oh, she's a psycho. I love her. It sucks having a dog that's so sweet, but like I also really hate her personality at the same time.
She's just damaged. You got to remind yourself she's been damaged.
I know,
we got
but
her,
I'm also
but it's
allowed
hard to do that.
I'm also allowed to be irritated and frustrated with her. I don't like hurt her or anything.
Oh,
I still love her
nobody
and give her affection
her.
And attention.
I did scare the shit out of her earlier today because she did something she wasn't supposed to. So I got real big and loud and chased her to make her remember that like. That's not supposed to happen.
And she's not in charge
around
here.
And I only punched her in the jaw four times. Is that a real big problem?
I mean, it's a little askew now. She can't close her mouth all the way, but I don't think it's that much of a problem.
Oh, and she's dead.
Well, she's very animated right now, so.
But she's a good girl. I pat her chest.
Well, she's a sweet girl. She's not a good girl.
Douche.
Did you just say douche?
No, but I'm going to from now on and see if people pick up on it. Which one of two things happens for the other person? Three things. They either don't hear it at all,
mm-hmm.
or two, they go, did you just say douche? Or
sure.
Three, they walk away and go, I think that fucking guy just said douche. Does he not know it's douche?
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I'm just like, hee hee hee, douche. I used to call a kid named Dustin. sorry, Dustin. I kind of went away from the mic there. Mm-hmm. I would call him Dust Bin, but I would say it really fast. I'd be like, hey, Dustin, can you go get that trash out of the trash can? He'd be like, sure thing, got it. Never picked up on it.
He probably just thought that you said his name weird.
No, then finally someone fucking told him, because people can't let a joke be a goddamn joke. And he was like, have you been calling me Dustbin? And I was like, yeah, are you mad? And he was like, no, but you know it's Dustin, right? And I was like, yes, that's the goddamn joke. And by the way, other people have been calling you Dustbin too. Anyway, you want to get talking about what we're here to talk about today? Today.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Before someone comes over and picks up cinder blocks.
That doesn't happen for another hour. Anyway, with the length of this album, we might be able to knock this podcast out.
No, we'll be at a break.
So, we are listening to, as the episode title is, Rubberneck by the Toadies. Now, sometimes it says Toadies, sometimes it says the Toadies. I'm going to say the Toadies because it feels better. Just like Eagles,
or
it's actually called Eagles, but
or
the
Fat
Eagles.
Boys.
The Fat Boys, it's all way easier.
I think, yeah.
Seems weird to go, you listen to Fat Boys?
If that's what it is, it's still an introductory word, and I think it's okay.
I guess I don't go, do you listen to the Pantera?
That would be great, though.
Hey, do you listen to The Doors? Damn it, that worked.
Because that's the name.
Damn it, I fucked up there.
That's the thing. There are a lot that have the at the beginning because it just makes sense.
Do you listen to the Beatles?
Or the Rolling Stones?
Or the... Bum, bum, bum.
The who? The who?
All right, Rubberneck, Toadies, guess what year it came out in?
1994.
That's right, we are in our golden year of 1994.
People who do not like 90s music that much and are like...
Hate this podcast. So for those that don't know, and the people that are listening probably do, our golden year on this podcast seems to be 1994. A lot of our favorite albums came out of 1994.
Or somewhere between like 92 to 95, I'd say.
So with that being said, that must mean we are clicking on to the world around this time. Our age is like, oh, we're starting to like recognize things that just aren't spoon-fed to us by our parents.
Spoon-fed. I think a lot of these things for me were not ingested when they came out, though. This was a looking back and liking things. I just like that sound more.
For me, I think it's because I had a brother.
I also have a brother, but
he was an older brother.
It's a younger brother.
My brother's 8 years older than me.
I'm not influenced by my younger brother.
So if in 1994, I'm like 9 years old, that means my brother is 17. That means I am into what my brother's getting into. Sure, at this point, he's shaving his head weird, which I'm into that. He's putting Kool-Aid in his hair to color it, which I'm into that. But sure, he might be stealing pizza cars and going on crime rampages. But his musical influence was huge at this point. Like, he's the reason the Misfits happen. He's a punk. Bob was a punk at some fucking point. Now, he's not so much a punk right now, but he still listens to like punk music.
He's
his
not
favorite
a punk
bands,
at all. He's going to church
still...
again. He's not a punk.
There's so many fucking punks that go to church. It's almost...
It's punk to go to church.
It's punk to do whatever you want. But I'm saying, like, punk music, he still likes, like, the Misfits are guaranteed in his top five favorite musical groups. Motorhead, top five favorite music groups, which is shared by the metal and the punk community.
I do want to go ahead and say and cut in. My sister, and I've talked about it a lot, older sister, also influenced a lot of my musical tastes, including the album Today. She would have been the one to introduce me to the Toadies.
Did you have this album?
No, but I'm familiar with more songs than just the two, which might only be three, but I feel like I've listened to this before, but I know very well three songs. And then I actually know a couple songs very well from the next album also. So I'm a little more into Toadies, but not like really, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. We were talking about now.
You were talking still about how your brother has influenced a lot of your taste and things around this year is when you're kind of also picking up on
for
things.
For some reason,
well.
I think I'm checking into music 1992 to 1994. Like, that's when I'm going, like, I'm starting to like this. I'm starting to connect to certain things. I'm probably starting to figure out I don't like rap the most at this point, too. You know, like, Probably figuring out I don't like fucking country at this point. Probably already figured that out.
Yeah, country wasn't played around you.
Fuck no. Nobody liked country in this house.
Yeah, I like some of it, but I get it. I totally get it. Because there's a lot that I don't like.
And maybe if I had listened to it, or it had been around like part of my house, maybe it would be different. But it wasn't.
I also think there was a time for someone my age. A lot of people around our age believe that the 90s were also an absolutely great time in country music. But then there are a lot of people who are also like, no, that's when it got poppier.
That's when it goes to shit and gets ruined.
But that's what like people grew up. Ask Jimmy. Jimmy will tell you, yeah, 90s country is great.
And I would say, no. Just like I'm saying now. So yeah, this comes out in 1994. It peaks at 56. We'll just get it started. The first song is an instrumental, and it's called Mexican Hairless.
So do you think this is referring to a cat or a cat?
Knowing them, it's probably actually a feline. Because you watch this little mini documentary about
today.
All the songs. It kind of goes through and explains them.
Yeah, there's like a 24-minute long behind the like, it's like the studio sessions, like recording this album and, yeah, them kind of, but it's them currently, it sounds like, talking about the past.
Yeah, it sounds like, okay, so the members are Vaden Todd Lewis on guitar and vocals, Daryl Herbert on lead guitar, Lisa Umberger on bass, and Mark Reznicek on drums. This is the classic lineup of the Toadies. So I don't remember where I was even going with this.
You were just explaining
who they
are. Oh,
but it's Vaden Todd Lewis doing the dialogue, what do you call it, when you talk over something.
Which one is that? The narration? Well, it's
the
not
narration.
Really a name.
He's the vocal guy. It's why he explains what all the songs were written about.
So he's the main guy because he also plays guitar.
He's the main dude. It's definitely him.
I have never before watching this little mini doc seen what these people look like. I have listened to songs by this band for like 20 years now.
Absolutely.
And I have never known what they look like. And that's like that with a lot of artists.
Really?
Where I just care about the music.
Yeah.
And I don't even think to look into what they look like. Like, I couldn't tell you what Rusted Root looks like, but I've known that goddamn song.
I have no fucking clue.
Forever?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
If I'm like into the band, then I know what they look like and I could peg them out on the street and I could tell you what his name was and stuff like that. Like when I was first getting into Guar, like I learned, even the people that put fucking masks on, I could tell you their real face and I could tell you their name and I would yell their name on the street. But yeah, for a band like the Toadies that I was never like into, but I've heard my whole life, I have no fucking clue unless I saw the music video. So there's bands like Counting Crows. That would be a band that I would know. Would have no idea what they look like. Oh. But I saw the video, and it's burning in my brain, that guy having the dreadlock thing.
Yeah, I think Adam Derwitz is a very... God damn it. You just pushed your head and did the Karen hair again. I think he has a... If I even said his last name correctly, he... I think he just is a very memorable looking person because he doesn't look like a lot of people.
So what do you think about now seeing these people from Toadies?
They're just tiny little boys from the early 90s.
And one's a girl.
Sure.
she is very manly. And not in like a...
I was kidding by that, by the way.
Brute way. Like she just wears hockey jerseys and very short hair and just looks... quintessentially lesbian. She might not be, but she looks like the quintessential lesbian.
And you can tell that it comes from a VHS, and a lot of the image is like distorted sometimes. You can't like really see what people look like sometimes. And I feel like she kind of falls victim to that multiple times just because of the quality of the picture itself. But you don't also see her very much.
Not too much, did you pick up on what a shirt she was wearing said when she was recording bass?
I saw Christianity something, but I didn't
Christianity is stupid, and I think it was spelled with two O's. T-O-O-P-I-D.
Yeah, I did like her more when I saw that, but I feel like she was really not showcased very much.
Not too much.
It was really mostly just the main guy and the drummer, I feel, had the most focus.
I would say so. We're moving on. This is a song called Mr. Love, which is the first single to be released on this album of five.
Five.
Five fucking singles.
I did not
realize
that. And
one you think is a single, and it's not.
Interesting. Oh, it just got radio play?
I guess. So, I knew the two Toadies songs, obviously. Yeah. I Come From the Water and Possum Kingdom. Never knew what the fucking name was, and when I found out it was called Possum Kingdom, I was like, fuck yeah, that's a killer fucking name.
Really?
Yeah. I did not know what to expect. I was hoping for something, and sometimes, you know, there's bands that I'm like, I'm hoping for something, and it doesn't happen. Foo Fighters, great example. I want to like them so much more than I do. I like the guys so fucking much, mm-hmm. but the music just never, there's songs that I really like, but I want them to just go further, and it never does. They almost pull back and go lighter.
I think they do.
I think I got exactly what I fucking wanted out of this Toadies album.
I was shocked when you gave this to me because I just never would have... I would have expected me giving this to you at some point.
I agree.
Not
I was
you
shocked
giving this to me.
Already. I was like, fuck, I can't believe I got it. Yes!
I wasn't sure what you thought. I kind of would have assumed that you didn't really think that the Toadies were that great. That you were just kind of like, yeah, those songs, whatever. Like, they're not like everyone else because I Come From the Water and Possum Kingdom are different than stuff that you would normally hear on the radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just didn't know that this would hit. I never would have imagined you choosing something like this.
I've always enjoyed both of those songs a lot. I'm a grunge guy. Yeah. I've always liked STP. I've always liked Alice in Chains, Soundgarden.
Some Pearl Jam.
Some Nirvana. You know what I mean? So this is not crazy out of my realm. I'm sure I've only been listening to Cannibal Corpse for weeks at this point. But this has been a nice refresher. I have found an album that I can fucking listen to now. I fucking hit something.
Good. I'm glad.
His scream is fucking amazing.
It's unique.
It's fucking metal.
But I also think he often, even though he has like an interesting tone, he sounds like someone from Texas. Like he has an accent sometimes.
Really? I think up on that. I'm going to listen to that, man. His voice is just good.
It's really good. I want to say I enjoy this album a lot too.
Good.
But I also listen to it.
I knew you would.
Yeah. But I also listen to it in my car. There is something about going out on my lunch break and just listening to an album and hearing it in my vehicle. I think my vehicle has really good sound.
It does. It has real good isolation too.
Yeah, your van does not have that. It's so open, and I always felt like I turned things almost all the way up and could not hear it like that great. But there's a lot of road noise.
A lot of road. It's so open in there. The highs are weird in there. It's not built for music to sound good in there.
No, so I appreciate it so much more now, being able to just feel that like isolated in my face music that's so clear, and I hear things that I didn't necessarily hear. Not that it's like standing out all the time, but just I feel like I'm really being like hugged by the music almost. Like it's really just, it's nice to just go and just kind of focus and jam and enjoy myself.
You're actually in it.
Yes,
and you get the full bass, you get the full everything, you can hear what the actual drums sound like. I've complained for how long now when you listen to things on your phone? I've been like, please, just once, use headphones.
Sometimes during the day, though, I will listen to things on that speaker.
That's good. That speaker is better than that speaker.
It's not great.
Your car is the...
It's nice.
It's the ultimate to go listen to. And in fact, if I had your car, I would drive around and listen to music I liked while I'm mixing my own album, and then I would take my music out there and it sound like
I
that.
I literally just thought, because you do sometimes, you like to take music into a vehicle. If you ever want to do that and just Bluetooth it in my vehicle and use it.
I was going to.
Please do.
Okay. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. Mr. Love is a fun song. It was what's the first song called?
Mexican hairless.
Even that setting up a good tone. I like all the tones on this. The distortion is distorted, but it's clear. I can hear the notes of the guitar. All just sounds good.
I do like, from watching that little doc about this album before this, I feel like it's fresher in my mind maybe, that the record company did not want them to put an instrumental song as the first track because they thought that people would like... just immediate, like they would either think that there was something wrong because it's missing the vocals, or just that it wouldn't have enough to like really pull them in. And they were like, no, this is what we want to do.
Or is all of it going to be like this? Is it all instrumental?
But I enjoyed it because it's the music is good in that first song. And then I think the music is always good.
And it's only a minute 49. Mm-hmm. It feels like an intro on stage to me.
Yeah.
Like that would be a good stage intro. And then you get done and then you go, how's that? While the noise is still going on, you're like, here we go. And then you go into your next song.
It's almost like a warm up.
Yeah.
But it's also like good guitar work.
It is. Now, if this had been like 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, I could see a bigger complaint from the studio. I really liked in that documentary one of the guys talking about how the studio told us, like, we don't think you want to put a instrumental on the first track. And goes, I think we do. I'm pretty sure our thought already was, you're telling us we shouldn't. We actually want to. I love shit like that. So let's move on. That was, I don't know how that did single wise. It didn't make any chart things, but so I guess it didn't do very well. I don't know why that would be your first single. But anyway, let's move on to the fifth single that they released.
Backslider.
Yeah. Now, this album came out in 1994. Their second single, which is their biggest fucking hit, Possum Kingdom, came out August 30th, 1994. They released this in 1996 as a fucking single. And I remember No Doubt did that, too. Like, for 2 or 3 years, they released the singles off that one album. And I think their album was strong enough. I don't know if this album hit publicly enough to warrant singles out into 1996. I might be completely wrong. Maybe they were still touring and it was still going well, but...
Do you think that putting singles out is part of also just trying to get more sales on that album?
It is, and it's usually done when tours are going to happen, too. At least back in the day.
And I think people didn't pump stuff out as fast as they can now.
That's true. I should think of it that way, too.
So they were able to kind of ride it longer, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because it was really... It could have even, just 2 years on one album, one tour, music videos and stuff. That doesn't seem...
People consumed not as fast as they do now. Seems like it happens and it's gone now. Whereas something seemed in the 90s, like it was the summer of this. You know what I mean?
Things breathed a little more.
His voice is so fucking good. It's not nerdy, even though he looks like a super fucking nerd when you watch this documentary.
I think he looks like a country nerd. Because they all were like...
I've never picked up country vibes once. They were, I felt like he hates it.
They were good at shooting guns and stuff in that thing. Like,
it wasn't guns, though. Those were like BB guns. Nerd versions of regular guns.
They're not guns. They're BB guns is what you just said.
They don't shoot real bullets. They shoot nerd dweeb bullets.
They also hit targets.
Yeah, I hit a target. I'm not a fucking country boy.
I would not be able to hit a target.
Oh, you're going to. We're shooting BBs today.
I'd rather throw an axe at a wall with a target.
I'd rather throw an axe at a human. Sorry, Cannibal Corpse just constantly going in his head. But anyway, his voice, I think it's so good in many ways that he's got this emotion to it where he's like doing a whine, but it's not an annoying whine.
The whine is kind of... It wears a little bit, but not enough to make me stop listening. But I like when he does like the a little more than the.
I think it does all good.
But I think he definitely is conveying emotion very well with his voice.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm fine with the whine. Fine with the whine. It's just got, even when it's not like, most of the time, it's got like to it. It's still got like this shrill. And watching that video where he's like screaming and the microphone's like 2 feet away from him.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
I'm used to seeing death metal dudes and metal-y guys scream like with the microphone right fucking here. Not him, which means he's probably actually hurting himself when he was screaming.
His veins were popping out of his goddamn neck.
Absolutely. You got to do the neck pop. All right, so what's next is the song that I'm sure everybody knows, if you know anything, by the Toadies. It's fucking huge hit. It's got 73 million plays on this app alone. Came out single-wise August 3rd, 1994, and got to number 9 on the mainstream rock charts. Here you go. Possum Kingdom.
This is the first song I remember by them. I'm not sure if I heard this or I come from the water first, but this one stuck. This reminds me of a dead man who I share a birthday with. Josh Mays loved this song.
Oh, really?
So this song makes me think of him sometimes, just because I know he loved it.
What was the vibe you got off of this song when you would listen to it? Is it creepy to you?
Yeah, creepy. Well, I think it is. When you watch the thing and you learn that it's because he... first there was a Possum Kingdom Lake that they would go to, and his parents like owned some property on. But he also said he was reading Stephen King books, so it influenced like his... the darkness in him at the time. I think this song is really dark, but it's also has really fun music behind it.
I agree. I never picked up the story of what he actually wrote it as. I always picked up a vibe of...
rapey?
Not so much rapey. Much more like... he says, like, I'm not going to be a gentleman, but, like, it felt more like, I'm so fucking obsessed with you that we should end our lives right now. I'm not gonna hurt you, but we should together join the force of the earth. You know what I mean, or whatever.
Like Romeo and Juliet.
But then you find out that he's actually like supposed to be a being from a dimension between worlds, and he's like trying to coax somebody into his cult because the cult actually ties to the last song, "Burn." Where he like burns himself, and that's how he ends up in the alternate
Backslider
dimension.
Was the last song.
That's not, yeah, but it's tied to Burn Me. I mean, the last song of this album.
I Burn.
Not the previous song. I Burn, yeah. The last song of this album is supposed to be the same character speaking on this song as well. And I never fucking knew that. I didn't know this guy was writing from characters, which is interesting because that's how I do things.
And his religious upbringing. And he said he wanted stories more than being told how to feel. He likes things that are maybe a little more vague so you can take what you want from it. And sometimes I really like that. I think we've talked about that before. At least about movies where things are sometimes left open-ended for interpretation. And I like that.
If it's done well.
If it's done well, that's fair. But I think this does it well.
Oh, yeah, this does it well. Damn it. I get all caught up in the wires and shit.
Yeah, sometimes in my head I get all caught up in the wires too.
Yeah, that's your medicine in your seizures. She didn't like that comment.
Because I know it's a problem. I've been thinking about it. It drives me crazy.
That was just some genuine silence listening to the music.
His voice is just powerful, and his voice being the way that it is also adds to the weirdness of the song. But the song is so good. The drums sound fantastic.
Uh-huh. It's got weird timing.
Uh-huh. It's so fun.
And it'll do it once here.
And the bass. I mean, that's classic. That's so... For me, this is classic and iconic. Even just this song. I feel like everyone knows this song, or most people know this song.
It's always been in my brain. It's always been around. I can't really think of a time that it didn't exist.
It's always, not always, but radio stations will play this song still. This song has very long-lasting power. It's powerful. And it has a staying power, and I think that that's awesome for them.
I love that they add this reverse reverb so you can kind of hear him say die before he...
I also like how he says die. Do you wanna die?
Die.
Die.
Die. Yeah.
Oh, this is the best. His vibrato is amazing. He did it on the first one and maybe this one too.
Oh, I did. I never noticed that. I just hear that graggle that he's got going on. Where he's like singing, but he's still got like a growl going on.
It's very aggressive, but it's also like nerdy. It's such.
But not Weezer nerdy.
No. Yeah.
Jesus. He seems more like my type of nerd. I think like I connect with this guy because he's like angry at this point in his life. He doesn't like things. I know what's going on.
I keep giving you
she
looks.
She keeps nodding me like I don't run the podcast often.
I'm not nodding. I keep looking at the time and I see it ending and I see you making eye contact with me. So it just makes me nervous. So it's just me looking down and just being like, oh no, I'm just afraid.
But anyway, I connect with this guy because like I feel his scrawniness and his nerdiness.
Sorry.
I'm not like scrawny like he is. He's like a fucking rail on some of these things.
I feel his scrawniness.
I feel his scrawniness.
Just got me.
I become aroused.
I wasn't taking it there. Just the words was just funny.
I took it there.
You sure did.
I feel like I could have hung out with this dude because we would also just be... Like, he's not a nerd in a sense of, like, I'm good at school is what I'm picking up. He's a nerd in a sense of, like, I hate jocks. Fuck you.
I guess, I feel like the word nerd is so open-ended now versus what it used to be. So when I say nerd, I just mean, like, you're nerdy about something. You're not necessarily, like, the pocket protector, Coke bottle glasses.
Fucking jocks take that word now, though, too.
Fuck jocks.
I'm nerdy about Marvel. Fuck off.
Fuck people who are healthy and good at doing physical things.
Yes. Fuck people who are naturally pretty. Fuck people who are naturally athletically gifted. Yes, absolutely. As an ugly, ungifted man growing up, fuck you.
I definitely fuck the preps when we were kids.
Yes. I still say it. I say it because they don't realize how much easier it is for them.
For me, it was rich kids. It was because they weren't all necessarily pretty, but if they had money, they were still friends with the preppy people.
Absolutely.
So it was money in this town. As a poor person, absolutely.
It's like, what did I say the other day? I don't always bitch about AI, but I'm not excited about AI things for the most part. I saw when you see like they're replacing models now with AI, I was like, finally one win for the ugly people. Took your job, didn't we?
I don't know. That's a fine line.
I don't need you to be pretty in real life anymore. I can just type in pretty person.
I think that it's useful when it comes to gathering information.
There's all sorts of good things about it. And there's all sorts of terrible things about it. Just like the internet.
But literally replacing people's jobs like that is weird. But then I also understand, like, why do we need models?
Same thing happened there.
Yeah, but everything just goes to the store now.
That was just a quick example. Like...
Well, I know, but I mean,
grocery stores replacing cashiers with fucking machines that I now have to do it.
I've always preferred self-checkout because I think that I think it can be uncomfortable with someone checking you out. But if you have a lot of stuff, it's silly to do it yourself. But yeah, the fact that it's like everyone, like we don't have anyone at the registers, everyone just go to the self-checkout. I don't understand that.
It's so they don't have to pay employees.
Yeah, but it's weird.
It feels greed.
It feels very disconnected.
And if I've got to do all that shit, this is the most hacky fucking comedy premise ever. And if I should be doing that shit, I should get a goddamn discount. I'm fucking working for you. But I don't want to talk to people, so I also prefer going to the self-checkout. They preyed on our anxieties is what Kroger did. Not Kroger's.
I'm just glad that most of these companies are still having increasing profits every year.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not making more money, but I'm glad that they are.
Good for them. All right. Yes. Let's do, I'd say, one more song and then go to break. This is called Quitta. This is not a single, by the way.
So when I was taking my little drive the other day, this song hit for me. I turned this song more up. I enjoy this song. It feels more straightforward, high energy grunge.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the one where I could. Fortunately, I can understand the guy's lyrics on this most of the time. So, like, the third listen, I can actually be like, oh, what's he actually talking about? I took this as more of a relationship song, not because he explains it was like a friendship, but I was straight up thinking of it like a guy maybe overdoing his like boyfriend responsibilities and being like maybe too stifling and stuff. So I wasn't 100% interpreting it as I'm taking his word at face value. When I started analyzing this song, I was thinking like I mean, you might have done things you were supposed to, but maybe you're overbearing, and then and now you're showing your overbearingness by being like, I thought I was doing something right. Ah!
You're a quitter.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of shit. But from what he explained, it sounded like it was a friendship that fell apart. But it could also have been the same thing. Sometimes when people are helping you, you like take something out of your hand and you're like, oh. Helping me is like doing something over there to clean up. It's not taking something out of my hand and doing what I was doing.
That is like, that is one of the few things in the world that just make me go from zero to a billion. And it always has been. When I'm like, I have a question, and someone's like, well, here, let me show you, and just takes it from me, which I know everyone is familiar with this concept, and most people don't enjoy it. But it makes me enraged for someone to do that, because it feels so condescending and like, well, you can't figure this out, so I'll do it for you. Like, I just, it's demeaning. I'm not a fan.
As a person who's got no patience when I work with people, I'm totally a... just give it to me. But I don't go, can't. Well, let me try. I go, move. I'm even worse.
Yeah, but you don't just grab things out of people's hands. But you are a I'll just do it person.
Absolutely. My patience wears thin when I watch people try and fumble through something. Which is why I think I could not be a teacher. Because I'd be like, how do you not get this?
That's why I've always asked to not be someone who trains people, because I have no patience. And I feel like I've made people feel stupid many times. And it's not my intention.
It's not.
It's just that I get irritated, and I am a transparent person. I am not, I do not have a poker face. I am just who I am on the sleeve and always have been. So I just can't hide that I'm frustrated. So then it makes them feel bad. I'm not like, you're stupid. But I just, I don't know.
I get it. It's just this internal frustration that you're taking out unfairly.
And I don't think that... I think they can just hear the tone in my voice. And I think that's all that it is. I'm not just like, ugh. I think
you dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, I think they can just hear.
I've had my... Oh, damn it. Michelle got me on that one. Now I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, I've totally had that problem, though, where I have... Like, I remember at the body shop, like it had gotten to a couple times where not like I'm working with someone, where someone wants something done that is not physically possible in the world that we live in. And I explain it to them 3 or 4 times, and they still don't get it. And I would get like, listen here, you fucking idiot. Like, so I would like to apologize for that part of my personality.
Sam is very mean to me sometimes, guys.
Oh.
SOS.
Sam, awesome Sam?
Awesome Sam?
Awesome Sam?
We need to take a break.
You can't say it like awesome. Awesome.
We need to take a break.
Oh, speaking of taking a break.
We were on a break.
Hey, wait, isn't that Seinfeld?
Nope.
What's that?
That's Friends.
Oh.
Pivot.
Pivot. Okay. We are going to go out with a little sampling of current toadies.
Yeah, 2022, right?
This one says it's from 2022. Yep, Damn You All to Hell EP. I'm just playing it from the beginning. I don't know what it's going to sound like. This song is called Damn You All to Hell. Oh, it's got a guy with a cross and a skull, and it's on fire. Look, he's really mad at religion.
My distaste for religion also grows as time goes on.
My distaste is the same. My talking about it has gone way down.
I think it's just because I feel like it's being pushed and like laws and stuff, and I don't like that.
For centuries?
Yeah, but the fact that it's still happening is what bothers me.
Is this an instrumental? Did they instrumental us again?
I was honestly wondering if that was the case.
Oh, wait, here we go. Here we go. Come on. Give us a scream, Vaden. Those sons of bitches. I like the music. It's weird. It almost reminds me of Devo right here. Way less electronic, but
still has a darkness vibe.
Oh, this guy's got darkness in him.
Black Brother Darkness.
Those bastards.
We'll be back. No,
no,
you're doing
no. Here.
That guy sounds like he's from Texas. What is happening right now?
This is called Deep, Deep Water. This guy loves water.
We'll be back.
I'm not a fan. All right, bye. Michelle said something very mean right before we started, and not about me.
It wasn't mean. It was observational.
Which is also mean.
It's the truth.
It is true.
It's just because that's how I...
What was mean about it is you didn't need to say anything about said person at all.
Please.
Anyway, have you heard this song?
If I can't be opinionated in the space that I live in, then fuck the world.
Well, good thing that part won't make it to air.
Now what?
Have you heard this song?
No.
This is a Pressed Against the Sky by Toadies. It was the one that had the most fucking plays.
Yeah, but it's
Toadies
not.
Toadies are not working for me off of this album. Let's try. I want to hear another one from this album. Let's do.
You'll Come Down.
Okay, boom.
This one that I am familiar with.
This?
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit of darkness again in the note choices. It's better. Still not my vibe though, for some reason.
Understandable.
Still not for me. I think the Toadies are definitely gonna be a one album Sam thing.
It happens a lot for you.
It does.
Fair.
It truly does.
I think it happens more for a lot of people than they just mentioned.
I agree. I also think. Do you think majority of people listen to like a playlist now?
Probably.
And like album listening is less.
Probably.
Are you falling asleep?
No, I'm agreeing. I think that that's probably the case. People,
I know,
shit,
like
the dog needs water. I reminded myself and then forgot.
Go get the dog water. Okay. I'll just talk. I'm good at talking.
You talk to people.
Anyway.
I'll satiate the dog.
Satiate that dog. I could have just given you my bottle of water and you could have poured it in there. Anyway. I don't remember what I was saying about fucking. What happened?
It's you and how you leave ketchup ramekin in the sink and you don't even put water in it or anything.
She's yelling at me about ketchup ramekins. I'm going to ramekin this up your ass. Ha ha! I said it earlier too. You're still part of the podcast at this point.
You're supposed to be talking to people.
I was trying and then you yelled about ketchup.
It's the way that you handle dirty dishes. It drives me goddamn nuts. This is the couple part of the podcast. I've always said that you don't really rinse things off. You just put water on them and then turn whatever the container, like whatever you had, is just like a soup version of that now. Because you just add a little water on top. But you just put a ramekin half full of ketchup. You just put it down in the sink and walked away.
There's no water in it at all?
You didn't even try to get any ketchup out of it. So you're just going to let it like solidify and become harder to get out. So it has to be scrubbed.
See, that's called being distracted. That's not me going, I'm going to put this ketchup in here because I want to. Ha ha, fuck everyone. It's me going.
Sam, it's literally
anyway,
never the point. Your argument is always, I didn't do it on purpose to be mean to you, so you should be okay with it. You are almost 40.
I know, but
still
I'm saying,
know,
how is it to be fixed?
Why
when
are you
the
talking over
way?
Me?
Because I'm being attacked.
No, you're not. You were almost 40.
Yeah.
and you should know how to handle dirty dishes, and you've never seemed to let it stick. It's never like sunken in there. And I said, let it.
I know how to handle a dirty dish. If I remember, I'm dealing with a dirty dish.
I'm still trying to talk.
But I got to get the point in when the point's happening. I'm 40. I should know how to do dishes.
No, you should know how to handle dirty dishes.
I do. I washed dirty dishes for many years. I just
you always say
don't
this.
Remember that I'm within dirty dish moment.
But you don't handle them in the house. You just put them in the sink and walk away. Because it's my job to take care of that.
No, it's not how I feel. It's just that it's not time to take care of it yet. I am fine with letting them sit for a while to take care of later. You could also do the same thing and I wouldn't give a shit.
I don't. Of course you don't care. You don't care about anything.
So then later when I'm like, oh yeah, those dishes are there, I will then take care of it.
You've never done that.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have. Oh, good stuff.
Anyway, guess what? We're still listening to Rubberneck,
Your
everybody.
Your face is red. Are you mad?
No, I just laughed. Oh. Ha, 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 ha.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm fucking pissed. No, I'm thinking about how I want to play golf.
Of course, anyway, you are.
Anyway, let's get back into this album. We're still there. We've got a handful of songs left. Let's start with Away. Please be turned up. There you go. Anyway, single number three, 1995. I've never heard this song before. So for me, I'm like, oh, a single? Don't know it.
I recognize it, but again, I think I did listen to this album once before. But I enjoy this.
Talking this song or the album in general again?
The song and the album. I enjoy this. Sanj.
Oh man, we ate lunch in between and I'm getting all burpy. I do like this song too. This is one of the first songs though that I've had an issue with one part, and it's this. So,
Do you remember that part from the
documentary? Oh, it's not even, I can do this in two parts. It's not even about what he's saying, first of all. The note choices and the happiness of it rubbed me a little wrong the first couple
of
lessons.
Dare he find peace and heaven within himself?
Yes. You know I like my people depressed and dismal.
That's why you like me.
So it just threw me off. I'm not saying I was just like, this is coming. This is the only time this ever sounds like this. But then add on, because he mentions Jesus in heavenly sort of things every once in a while. And I, like he says in the documentary, misinterpreted it just like a lot of people he said do, where he's saying, I got the vibe. I was interpreting it this way before I listened to the documentary, that he had troubles with religion, but he's still finding a way to believe in a heaven.
Okay.
When he's actually saying, he's finding that
if
heaven's within, you are heaven. And I'm like, oh, that's how I feel about things.
I think he said, if there's a heaven, it's within you.
It's within you. You are your own heaven. You are your own hell. Like, that's the way I think of things. And I don't think of it in those terms of heaven and hell. But, like, I was much more comfortable then because I was like, ah, come on, Tony's guy. You seemed like you were on the same page with me. Like, ah, fuck that God thing.
And he is.
And he was. So when I watched that documentary, I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
He kind of wiped my brow.
He had a religious upbringing and he seems to have had changed his mind. And there was at one point he talks about like his dad. So I assume his dad was a religious person who maybe put his thumb on his son and then his son kind of broke away from that. So I get it.
You get that angst. I don't know what it's like to have a religious thumb underneath, on top of me at all. So it's got to be such a weird tear within inside where you're like, I just don't feel this. None of this feels right.
So yesterday, sorry if I just cut you off. Did I?
Not really.
Okay. Yesterday I read about the four main type parenting styles, and it seems to me like a lot of people who I assume his parents were like, and like a lot of times religious parents are the more authoritarian parenting style, where it's like, this is the truth, this is what you're gonna do, I'm doing what's best for you, sort of like just putting really a lot of restrictions and rules in place. And I feel like that's kind of the vibe I get, which is why I think there seems to be such a high rate of people who rebel against that, because it's so strict and it's too much. So it's just interesting to see how that works against people who try so hard to pretty much just make little versions of themselves or versions of what they wish that they were. Yeah. And then the kids are just like, fuck you, I'm my own person, I'm out of here.
Growing up, when I first started doing like the alternative music scene and meeting people and actually talking to people, it seemed then it was way more people that grew up with some sort of religious overbearingness that then went completely opposite and were like, fine, if now I love Satan. Ugh. I did that kind of shit. So that definitely happens. And then I noticed as those people had kids, they're also becoming little freaks, but it seems to be in a way of out of love this time instead of out of fear. Because I came into this kind of like alternative world just from interest. I mean, I've never had, like I said, the religious thumb. So it seems like when people come from that religious thumb and they do rebel, they go extra hard.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that get like the most piercings. They're the ones that have the wildest hair. They're the ones that have the most patches on their denim jacket. Whereas like, it'd be interesting to talk to people I know that weren't raised religious of my age, because yeah, like I said, it seems like the younger generation now are just into it because they think it's cool. It's not like I was rebelling against something, kind of like I was.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to talk to people who grew up like me in a non-religious household and be like, did you ever feel like you were just being like, fuck the world when you were doing this? Because like, I still had that, but it wasn't based off of religion and like that oppression. It was based off of like intellect almost.
Well, I wouldn't even say that I was raised in a religious household.
Yeah.
My mom was, she went in that direction and then I kind of followed after her.
Yeah.
And then I like, my dad's mom was very religious. So I felt like that was more, that's more prevalent on my dad's side of the family. But my dad was never like pushy, like someone who I think, you know, clearly believes, but like wasn't, we just didn't have like an upbringing that felt like it was a religious house.
Was your mom, when she was the heaviest into it, did she do everything based around that? Like, was it brought up all the time?
It's like, really hard to remember.
Are you praying before meals? Are you?
Yes. Okay. Reading the Bible every night.
Okay. So yeah.
Taking notes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Criticizing what I would want to watch on TV. Which, I mean, I guess if she's a mom, that's her right to do that.
Yeah.
But I always felt like it was oppressive.
And do you think it was based off of belief and not just like, this is not good for your brain?
I think it was based more on belief, but I also think that she's just, I think both of my parents are more conservative people, even though I think my dad has become less conservative in like some of his beliefs, like socially and such. But I still believe that, you know, they're both more conservative people. I assume my dad sees posts that I make on Facebook sometimes and it hurts him. It's on the inside.
Just turns his shoulder a little bit.
I'm sure he's just like, God, I wish you were better, Michelle.
But he just probably, he's not going to say, I wish you were better. It's going to be like, I wish you just didn't have to say it out loud. It's like when my mom knows like curse and stuff. She doesn't.
I know, but I
think it's bad. She just doesn't want to hear it coming out of her son.
I just I have a much lower boiling point with some things, and it's more just, it's not that I get more upset. Religious stuff is really touchy for me, and it always will be.
Yeah.
But first of all, I'm just a crass person. So I like shock factor sometimes, yeah. But I'm not like trying to shock you. It's just, that's what appeals to me, is something that kind of like stings a little bit, something that's a little more like jammy.
Yeah, the thing that you said to me right before we started recording this part of the podcast.
What did I? Oh. That was just an observation. Someone had their teeth removed and I said something
Shut
about
up!
Their face and it just looks different. Info. No, it's not, because my aunt, it changes people's faces when they have their teeth removed and they get dentures. Their faces change. And all I did was I just made a comment about someone's face. I didn't say fuck that person. Just your face changes when you get dentures. Look at every old person with dentures. They look different. Chill out, Sam.
Context, Michelle. Context is key.
Well, just because I didn't explain myself beforehand doesn't mean that it makes the comment super mean. I didn't mean it in a mean way. It's just how it came out of me. That's just my sense of humor.
Exactly what you were just explaining. Your little jab.
I just like things that are, I like crass. I like things that hit
harder.
You like
harder. Going like, what the fuck?
I'm not as, things that are just like, don't really usually affect me as much. Like, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's like, that's funny. I need something like, boom, to really get me. You know, like 9/11 jokes. That's something Travis and I share. We can laugh, but it's a coping mechanism. You and I have talked about it. If you can't laugh and find things to laugh about, even like the worst fucking situations, you might not be able to face it and get through it. Sometimes I have to laugh at things that are awful so I feel more comfortable. You know how people nervous laugh? That's not me. I'm not laughing that people jumped to their death because they didn't want to burn alive in 9/11.
Yes, you are. You're doing it right now. You literally just did.
That's not why I'm laughing. That's not funny to me. It's
hey,
truly
man.
Not.
On our old band website, we used to describe the sound of our music as the sound of 9/11 suicide jumpers hitting the pavement. So I'm not much to say anything.
I don't think that's funny. Can we please get back to the Toadies?
Yeah,
album?
Let's go back to the Toadies.
Oh my god!
All right, now this single was released. Never. It makes no sense to me. This is the only other Toadies song I knew, and it's not a single
because it's always on the radio.
I think WBN just fucking liked it a lot, and they were like, "Let's fucking play this one."
It's been on the radio since like high school, though.
Yeah, but the only radio I know that would play it would be WBN.
Yeah, maybe that's the case.
And WBN does take license sometimes. They can play whatever they want. They have the license to play anything off of an album.
I can picture a younger version of my sister singing this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this makes me think of my sister completely.
This whole album, and especially this song?
This song in particular. Yeah.
This song makes me think of two people. My brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just because this whole sound makes me think of my brother.
Has your brother ever liked or mentioned?
Probably. I don't remember us really talking about this, but I bet he fucking likes this song. I like this song a lot. His voice is wonderful on this song, where it's got that nice screech. Yeah, I had it turned up earlier on the last song, and I felt like I was yelling to get over it.
Well, you had it turned... I think you had it turned up louder than this. It went to...
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
I also have to just think that you're animated. You were standing up. I think you were also just yelling.
No, that was not that song. Wait, this is the only song we've had to come back. Yeah, it had to be that song. Anyway, this also whole album makes me think of Kirk Gibbons.
Ah.
He in high school had this album. And he would talk about
it.
It
is a lot louder now to me.
See?
Interesting.
Yeah, he was a big Toadies guy, and I think he's... You're probably going to post this, and he's probably going to do what he does classically. I should have been there for this. In the comments on a couple of critics' podcast posts. But this song, I never really knew how to interpret this song. Like, what I was feeling from it.
It's interesting to get the explanation. It's just, like, about evolution.
It's about his dad. His dad being religious, but believing in evolution. So it was like this... What do you call it? Opposite-ended misthinking.
My best friend's dad is like that.
That's always weird
to
me.
He is somehow able to find some sort of balance within religion and science, but like Mormonism and science.
Yeah. Well, I think the way they do that is...
Well, they just say God created.
I was about to say, they just say
evolution exists, and it's God doing evolution. That's the way he's working. You know what I mean?
But I think that some people say evolution isn't real because it's not talked about in the Bible. But I also feel like their arguments are always, well, why isn't it still happening? Because they expect to just see, like, an ape.
In 20 years, a difference?
They expect to see an ape in the morning, and then it's a human by dinner time.
It takes a long, long, long fucking time.
So, yeah, I think there are a lot of people who are just like, if I can't see it, then it's not real.
They say that's the biggest problem with humans is scope. And mm-hmm. anything that they don't understand, like the size of the earth and the size of the universe and time in general, they don't understand how minuscule we really are.
I always forget about it. And then I saw a scale yesterday, and it wasn't even all the planets, but it was just of like half of the, no, maybe it was all the planets. And it was outrageous how small we are, even compared to the other planets.
Yeah.
So it's weird to think that we think that we're so important.
Or that you... That you can have this mind where you're just like, for example, evolution can't be real. What's happened in the last 50 years? It's 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And probably something very, very, very minuscule that you can't notice yet.
Erosion that is even not always that easy to see.
That 300,000 years from now, we'll have done something. That's how fucking big you gotta think. And maybe not even then. It might take even fucking longer than that.
Size and time.
You goddamn dope. Did you like that? You goddamn screw.
Ooh.
Anyway, I like that song a lot. I could see your sister singing that song, by the way, as soon as you said that. I come from the water.
That'd be a funny insult to be like, go twist yourself into a wall. You screw.
Well, people did call people a screw back in the day. You screw. That's like a Daffy Duck.
Interesting.
Bugs Bunny kind of thing. Yeah, you screw. Nah, see, you screw. Yep. That's what gangsters would say to each other. And then they'd get offended and shoot each other with a Tommy gun.
Ooh,
so
Tommy guns.
So that they cut people in half with the amount of Tommy gun rounds.
Ooh, like Ghost Ship.
No, like, yeah, except one wire. But I was going to say, I think that's the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, where dudes dressed up, pretended to be cops and put a bunch of gangsters up against the wall, and it was actually just a rival gang. And they shot them with so many bullets that people were like cut in half from bullet fire.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it's wild. But it was a good fucking ploy, right? Get up against the wall, say we're the police.
God, humans really are the fucking worst.
Yeah. We're really the only, like, I think they found others, but animals that like kill just to kill. Like a cat maybe does that too.
Yeah, they do. They play with dead
but
things.
There's more animals that kill for like eating and sustenance than they do for just the sake of fucking killing things.
Just having wars all of the yeah. time.
Speaking of wars, let's listen to this song. It's called Tyler. This song gave me the first inclination that maybe this Vaden guy is always talking about dark shit.
I think so. I think it's a part of who he is. Was this also a single?
This came out. It's the fourth single. This is the last single we will talk about since Backslider came in earlier. This is one of those ones that came out in 1996.
I know this song. Okay. I knew this song ahead of time, and I have always enjoyed this song.
Yeah. I did not know this song. This song had to grow on me. This right here isn't really...
This is part of the grunge stuff, though.
Yeah,
there's
this
a sad
feels more
stuff.
Like Radiohead kind of grunge kind of stuff.
That's fair. And I can play that game.
Yeah, you can. I like how you said that.
I did give you a Radiohead
you
album,
did?
And it wasn't the one that people wanted me to give you.
Good.
Everyone's more like, okay, computer, and I get it. It's a good album, but I like the Bends.
I like the Bends. So this song, I really started listening to the lyrics, and... With me, when you start talking about weird, morbid stuff, you're going to get more of a pass.
Into Mexico. I always like how he says that. Sorry. Into
His
Mexico.
Voice is really interesting on this one. He's doing
His
that.
Voice is fantastic in the song. I feel like it's almost like peak him. You get everything, like the whole scale.
Yeah, I agree. You get the whine. You get the low. You get the even just the smooth singing voice when he's just singing during the cleaner, slower parts. Like I was saying, songs like Skinned, is that what it's called?
Yeah, by Blind Melon.
That gets a pass from me solely because it's about Ed Gein making like lampshades out of skin and stuff. That song, if you put different lyrics to it, like about
I don't know, hanging out in the farm.
I wouldn't give a fucking shit.
So that helps this song. But what also helped this song for me is thinking of playing the drums. It would be fun.
You also get a scream coming up too. Oh, yeah. But it's almost like more, it's more like Wiley, like, wah! Like almost
frantic.
Right,
because, oh, I mean, the story
I was
is
wrong. My timing was off.
The story is him being obsessed with a girl and making his way in through the kitchen window and, like, having a little, have a beer before he decides to go in the room that she's sleeping in right now. Fucking crazy stuff. Like, it's Campbell.
Right, yeah, it's right now.
Buy myself a beer.
Yeah, the part that has always stuck in my head.
Oh, we're listening to that louder. I turned it up just now.
I enjoy it.
This part rules.
I love that part. It's so ridiculous.
And I was so happy that they included it in that documentary because they show scenes of him singing with no music going on. You're just him in the room, which, by the way, for someone to do that in the room and I'm not hearing the music, but I can hear it and it's good and I know that you're on key and I mean, I know the songs already, so I am hearing them in my head.
Yeah.
But just live and in the room, I'm like, yeah, you fucking nailed it, dude. Fucking killed it. And it seems like he's doing a long phrases too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to seeing guys take things in sections, especially death metal. If you want it like the best, you take things in sections.
But it's also different because you're used to digital recording.
They did that still with tape. The guy just had to be good at punching in.
Hmm.
Yeah. All digital techniques stem from the analog. It's just so you can do it a little easier and automate things.
It just seems more wasteful if you were dealing with actual physical tape.
It can be, but you just rewind. It's not like you lose that tape. You just record over it. What the thing is you can't keep a bunch of takes unless you want to and put them onto another tape. There's definitely disadvantages. But I think he's feeling it so much, it's almost essential to not do it cut up. He's got to, like,
just to get, like, a whole verse at a time.
Emote the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're going, you're always balls to the fucking wall, so you can. And then go back in and fucking fill it in. I do that shit all the time. But I really enjoyed seeing him in the studio do that. And thank God again they fucking showed that one section. Like,
he pulls the covers tighter.
I was like, please, please play this part. Please play this part. And it did. Even they knew. Well, we got to fucking show that part.
I've been singing it today. I've been walked around the house singing it multiple times. It's just stuck in my head. But I've always enjoyed the song. So, but I also think it builds. It is much like more laid back in the beginning and stuff. And then it builds by the end. He's like screaming.
And he's
almost
in the house. Like, it follows. The music follows the story. Like, yeah.
Like, the intensity grows, yeah.
I see her from where I'm at now. I'm not in the house yet. Now I'm in the house. Oh, ooh, things are getting wild. I better get a beer to calm down. It's Cannibal Corpse story without Cannibal Corpse detail. And just in your face.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually, like, the emotion of being in there. Not just, I'm describing terrible things.
It's almost like that movie that's like the from the, like, perspective of Jason or a Jason character.
Something violence. I can't remember, but it looks awesome. I should look it up here.
I think it's called Playing Patty Cake with Violence.
I think it is Playing Patty Cake with Violence. This song's called Happy Face. This song sounds like 311 at the beginning. Huh.
Cheer.
Bingo.
You've got a bingo.
So this album never once did the classic, like, lull.
I agree.
You know what I mean? A lot of albums have a lull. A lot of albums I like have a lull.
I feel like the slower songs still have good energy. I think that this is good as a whole album. no, son of a bitch.
I love songs that say son of a bitch. One of my favorite Misfits songs. I ain't no goddamn son of a bitch. Just makes people go like, huh? Gets that strike that we were talking about earlier.
The jab.
The jab. I wish I could figure out what that fucking movie's called. I definitely want to see it when it comes out. As soon as I can figure out. It just keeps wanting to give me violent femmes.
The sound of violence?
Ever.
The sound of violence.
I saw some people, there's somebody post recently about how that song has so much emotion in it from Disturbed redoing it. And I just wanted to, that is one of the worst fucking things I've ever heard in my life.
A lot of people disagree.
Oh, I know. That shows how opposite I am of most people's opinions. It's like, it hurts to listen to. I fucking like.
It's not for me.
Detest it.
I'm fine with other people liking it. I get it, but I don't. Oof. It's not for me.
No thanks.
I never liked it, though. When it first came out, because I think they did it on Conan. And the video of them doing it circulated a lot. It was just never for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. You know, Conan cared a lot about that.
I bet he liked the exposure, and that was it. What do you think of this drum tone?
Like 90s.
From
90s. They do that classic. It's not a... Not like metal tone has... Like a real high click to it. Theirs is just like a thud more mm-hmm. than anything, like a slap.
Yeah.
Instead of like a cuck, 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 cuck. Which they can totally get away with. And I actually prefer a kick drum tone towards this in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand in metal, you cannot have that kind of kick tone and hear what the fuck's going on.
Muddy, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I would want my kick to sound like. Like nice big boom thud. If I wasn't playing,
almost sounds like someone's tapping on a microphone, notes. Though. Not the exact same.
I don't know where the kick drum starts and the microphone begins. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Here, let me try it when the song ends and see if it sounds the same.
I'm pretty sure I stopped the song. What the hell's going on?
You can hear the microphone spongy sound. Hold on.
Now it's just going to sound like, no, not anymore. The foam helped. You can't go bare. You can't go bare back on the microphone.
I'm raw dogging this microphone.
We got two more songs, everybody. Let's go on to the next one. Number 10. It's called Velvet, and right now I do not remember which song that is.
It's the ode to Velvet Revolver, minus Lou Reed. Wait, Velvet Revolver? I meant to say Velvet Underground.
You're close. There's that good scream.
Yeah. Good energy.
Oh, wait. I know what song this is. Of course. Like, this guy's screaming fucking cunt. This song. This guy's a nut bar. Which I was kind of shocked because I did not expect that to happen. Shocked in a good way.
Like a shocker.
Yeah, exactly like a shocker. In a good way.
Or a chakra.
Shocker, chakra. He's just screaming cunt. I like how in the documentary he's like, oh, that one's just a straight up relationship song. She hurt me. It's just spite.
I didn't know that Chakra is a Swiss hard rock band. Did you know that?
You don't know about Chakra?
Apparently I don't know about Chakra.
They only do ABBA songs, but in a hard rock kind of way.
I hope they also have grown into doing Shakira covers as well.
Hate to disappoint you. They only do Chaka Khan covers. They call it Chakra Khan.
My hips don't lie!
Is that... What's her nuts?
That's Shakira.
Yeah.
Her hips don't lie. They tell the
I
truth.
I thought you were getting ready to do a Chakra Khan song.
I feel for you. I think I love you.
This is the best death metal voice you've ever done. You're just like letting it come out. You're not trying to like... That's how the best metal voices are. It just comes out. You're not like thinking about it. Good job.
ChakraCon. Sorry.
Yeah. Did you not hear me say that twice?
No, I did. I'm still like, it's still trickling down. Unlike what the government says happens financially. That's not true.
Yeah, trickle down. That's what people with money traditionally have always done.
Peed on people? Blow
well,
them?
Well, yeah, that part. Fucking give you the ditty.
Ooh, I think that's our kitty. R. Kelly.
R. Kitty. Now I need somehow R. Kelly and a cat mixed.
I know, it's bad.
Some of our favorite things are just putting two things together, and we're just like,
we're stupid. We're just kids. We're dumb, unintelligent, uneducated children.
Children?
Children.
Children.
All right, let's do one more song. It's called I Burn. Now, like I was saying earlier, this is the prequel to Possum Kingdom, everybody. Every time I've listened to this song, this reminds me of another song.
Okay.
And I can't fucking figure it out. It almost reminds me of like a President of the United States of America song, maybe?
Okay, this might be... I got a vibe, a President's vibe on one of these songs, and it was probably this one, actually, now that you say that. But I also think there's like a slight similarity... There's a similarity in the vocals.
Yeah, you're right. He's got that kind of same...
But it's different. Yeah, more like the whiny...
Is that guy from Texas, too?
I don't think so. I'll look it up right quick.
It's the Texas tone. Ah, we're the Texas Tones. So, this is the one song that I did get a vibe of a storyteller song. They're not trying to like come from something within.
They're from Seattle, by the way. PUSA, Presidents of the United States of
gotcha.
America.
So, yeah, this is the first time I was like, I think this dude's writing from a different... Before I watched the documentary, this is the first time I actually did get a vibe of, I think he's writing as a cult member or something like that. And then he fucking confirmed that that's what the whole thing is. Like, I just put myself in the mindset of a guy who's in a cult that they're going to set themselves on fire to cleanse themselves and go on to the next level. I was like, yeah, I kind of got it. Sweet.
I think it's so rare to have an album where the... slower songs still like you said, there's never a lull. There's never a time where it's like, I'm miserable, I need to switch this. I really think that this is a really good album from
front to back.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people go slow, they get indulgent. You can slow your tempos down and this is still dark and interesting and has the same vibe it's had the whole time.
It's also kind of like it's changing as it's going. I feel like their stuff builds. When it's slower, it always builds to something.
Absolutely. Being the drummer on this song will be fun as fuck too.
I think I remember him recording that
and it
part.
Looked fun.
It did.
That's how I even thought of that whole
It kind of made
angle.
Me it made me appreciate the drums more on this part when I actually saw him doing it, because it looked more fun. Yeah.
He's still the drummer.
Nice.
I think only two people are left from this lineup.
Not the lady?
No, Lisa Unberger lasted for a good while. They had to put some, what do you call it when you do that? Raise money for people. GoFundMe kind of thing.
Okay.
She had cancer of some type, so it's not why she left, but they still considered her a friend. And they were like, hey, let's raise money for Lisa.
Yeah.
But yeah, the lead guitar player left a while ago. But they're still a band. They still put stuff out. They still tour. We just missed them on tour, actually. Which it's like, when the 30th anniversary Rubberneck tour happens, they're going to play this, I'm totally fucking down to go.
Yeah. It's coming, too. Wait, it's this year.
The 30th is this year?
Yeah, it's 2024 right now. So maybe they're not doing anything.
Maybe they already did it. And maybe they don't give a shit. Not everybody goes, we got to play the whole album now.
Not everyone wants to jump back into what they, not everyone wants to move backwards, where a lot of people are like, no, I like this, so I can like stay in this spot. And they're like, well, I've moved on from it.
I totally, as an artist, understand you don't want to stay in one thing, but to deny what made you A, popular, or B, got you fans or got you a career is fucking insane to me.
Well, there are some people who just do the same song over and over again, basically, like Meghan Trainor. Meghan Trainor, the All About That Bass girl, everything she does is like very similar to that. She has
Does she have other songs that like, I'm still not about that treble?
Yeah, she still makes references to, she will make references to like that song and stuff. Like she really is writing that, which I mean, I guess if that's your style, if that's what you're into, that's like a modernized like 50s type music, okay. But she really like doesn't seem like she's grown at all as an artist. Whereas like you kind of want some growth. I don't think you want someone to do the exact same thing the whole time, but some people do.
I think I want all my favorite bands evolved, but evolved slower.
Or they still evolved within what they were doing, right?
Yes. Or like they didn't just completely like switch it from the next album. They were like, we added some stuff into kind of our sound already. Cause it's like, well, I liked you because of that sound. I don't like you because you did something like over here. I mean, sometimes that works if you pull it fucking off. 9 times out of 10, a complete shift never fucking works. So like, I'm going to say it again, like Cannibal Corpse, you can argue it's the same fucking thing since it's always been, but it's really not if you're into it. Like you can see the evolution, but the evolution is slow.
Yeah.
And it fucking works. Like, that's why we're fans.
I want to ask, do you ever regret putting that DVD cover of Zombie on your guitar instead of it being over the DVD?
No, because this DVD is quite easily still purchasable. So it's not like this means anything to me other than it's cool to put on my guitar.
Okay.
I prefer it on my guitar than the DVD case because I probably don't even have this disc anymore.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Sure, I do. I also have to pee, so let's get through this, because right now we have some things to go over, and they call them puppy love. Be some questions. What's happening? Be some questions. What happened to the guitar?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, of course.
It got stuck on a fret. Anyway.
Do you want to die? Do you want to die? Do you want to die?
Do you want some questions?
All right. What in the world possessed you to choose Toadies? I do need a thorough and exact answer, please. Thank you.
I don't think my answer is going to be good enough for you because I was driving to band practice. No. I was in bed.
No!
I was in bed. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I should have been asleep. And I was doing a bunch of stuff all night already. And I was like, did I get everything done? Did I get everything? Fuck, I need to get an album for Michelle. And I was just sitting there, laying there. And I don't have a good reason as to why it popped into my head. Suddenly I was just like, Toadies. And then I looked it up to see if we had already done it because I could have easily have seen you choosing it already and I just forgot. Fuck, Kirk would have chosen this album if he could have.
Well, he didn't get to, so
you
missed that again.
So I don't have a good answer as to why it happened. I just know when I thought of it, I was like, bingo. I felt like, holy shit, I can't believe it's taken this long to do this, and I'm happy I got it, because I'm not struggling for things, but like I am being pickier about things right now, and I'm really trying to explore at the same time, so this was perfect, because I knew I liked those two songs. I was like, this can go one of two ways. I can either get more of what I like, and I'll be like, fuck yeah, a new album, or I'll be like, I've confirmed that I only like a handful of Toadies songs, and the first happened, so... Exciting.
Do you know how many times you listened to this? Because you gave
like
this
8 or 9.
I was gonna say, you gave this on like, was it Wednesday or Thursday? Was it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah. So, and it's Sunday, so it wasn't even a full week.
No, but I've listened the shit out of this.
I've probably myself listened about 7 times.
Nice. It's a good fucking album.
It's an easy listen.
Goes quick. Mm-hmm. Easy listen. And for a guy like me who's been, like I said, can't stop talking about him, Cannibal Corpse, that's all it's fucking been. It's literally like Cannibal Corpse, Fat Boys, Cannibal Corpse, Toadies, Cannibal Corpse, Fat Boys. Like, that's the three things I've been listening to.
Fat Boys.
Cannibal Corpse.
And I, every part of me wanted to choose a Cannibal Corpse album. And I was like, no, we did this recently and I'm trying to stay away from death metal right now.
Haven't you already given me Cannibal Corpse?
Exactly, but there's different eras of Cannibal Corpse, my wife.
My wife.
That's why when you chose the Cannibal Corpse album, I remember I chose four albums. They were all four different eras. And you chose the Chris Barnes last album before he left era.
I sure did.
I knew that.
Least favorite song.
This was hard to do. How about you?
It is hard, but there's a song that, there's only one song that kind of got on my nerves a little bit. Right. And it, for me, Backslider.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't really on my nerves. It's just, if anything, kind of, I guess. Like, I think the song's fine, but I think his voice is a little, like, grainier or, like, gradier for me sometimes. I get it, yeah. It's a little, like, screechier.
He's definitely,
like, straining.
On the break of his voice.
Yeah, so I guess it just didn't... It makes me kind of almost feel uncomfortable listening to it a little bit, like, physically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so
I
that's me.
I think he's going for that, too, so it kind of worked.
Yeah.
I love that fucking tone. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, get to it, man. Your hat right now. You look like a Shriner the way it's shaped.
Good.
And the yesterday you looked like an Imperial guard. Anyway.
Same hat.
Same hat. That hat has many looks. Okay, I had a real tough fucking time, and I think I've got to give it to this song right here. Away. I enjoy this song a lot still. I just had to choose something.
I like the music too much to personally have chosen this song, yeah. But that's, I understand.
I love this. So it's weird to say, like, my least favorite song, and I'm sitting here talking about what I love about it, but
that happens.
It's still a good fucking song. There's no bad song on this album.
That happens when you like all the songs, but you just have to choose the least favorite. I mean, it's in the fucking description, the least favorite. Like, right. You're still...
And that song, I could... For its journey it's had with me of like, it's making me feel weird to like thoroughly enjoying it, I could see it becoming like one of my favorite songs, especially like I ended up enjoying the chorus when he's like, I eventually ended up enjoying because like he's belting like a southern woman right now.
Texas baby.
Exactly.
Most favorite song.
Also hard.
It is.
But I know. I've known the whole time, though.
But I know what it is for me as well. For me, there are many good songs on this, but the one that I think is like the most fun and that is just, I don't know. I Come From the Water.
Yeah, it's a really good fucking song.
I really love Possum Kingdom. I think that song rules. But I love the music. I love how it just moves quickly. It's silly. It has interesting timing. I come from the water, yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's so quintessential, like, 90s grunge music.
Absolutely.
Love it. So, yeah.
Tones are good. It's a really good song. And I've always enjoyed it. There's never been, like, a time where, it grew on me. Fuck no, that song has always been great.
And I would put Possum Kingdom like right behind it because I think they're both just tremendous songs.
Yeah.
But I figured that would be your favorite. It's a little darker.
It's a little darker, but those two are right next to each other.
They're like, such good songs.
If I could put them both at number one, that's the real answer.
And they're very different songs.
Yeah. This song I think has more substance to it, which puts it just above.
No, that's fair.
But... And it's fun to play on the guitar, as I found out during the break, because I was like, I'm going to learn how to play that for the song. I just enjoy this song a lot. And even this part can sound a little like major scale. But for some reason, it does not fucking bother me. It never has. I even like all this, that, which could be very against what I enjoy. But
yeah.
There's an attitude to this that I just don't. It's like a boggy swamp feel. Even with I Come From the Water has a boggy swamp feel.
A lot of these songs have a boggy swamp feel.
Say it again.
From Texas. Boggy swamp feel. So yeah, there you go. I'm glad one of us chose the other song that kicks ass the most.
Yeah, I like that we were both in the same mindset. Absolutely. With like these songs are both right up there, but
and I found out songs that like Quitter I really enjoyed. Quitter's Tyler really good. I really enjoyed. I Burn I really enjoyed. It was like I fucking hit it. Like this podcast, one of my favorite things that happens is when I get something new.
And you like it.
And I, yeah, like when I get something new, it feels like a gift. Like, oh.
I like you get to take it away,
yes,
from the podcast.
Like, yes. Okay. It's like King Diamond was fucking huge for me. This is fucking big. It's not King Diamond huge for me, but it's big.
Ball and Jack was big.
Ball and Jack was huge.
Ball and Jack is still listened to.
Yeah, and thoroughly enjoyed.
I still would consider Found a Child one of my favorite songs of all time.
It kicks ass. And it's one of the most, in that sample, everyone fucking knows. Ding, ding.
Would you, Sam, I found this album by the Toadies in a bin, in a for sale bin. Should I buy this Toadies album and should I listen to it?
Yes, you should do both.
Aw, yay. Thanks, Sam. You've been a great help.
No problem. And on your way out, grab that Cannibal Corpse album too.
They don't sell that in this store. This is Pomida, sir.
They might have had the edited covers.
Oh, God. Would I listen to this again? I absolutely would.
Oh, yeah. I have a feeling this is making it into the trip.
I would consider this a, yeah.
This is a trip album now. We got a new trip album.
Yeah, when we man. Ride we got a trip album. Ugh.
I don't even like the sound of tripping anymore.
0 out of 10. Oliver, that rock and roll cat.
Let's see. What did I get Fat Boys?
Eight. Fat Boys.
I enjoyed this more than Fat Boys.
8.5.
So I'll give this an 8.5. Ooh. It's a really good album.
I do like this more than Fat Boys. I'm also going 8.5.
Nice. Fucking solid album. I was very happy with my choice. I felt good this week on this choice.
Yeah, I agree.
And I felt your excitement through your text just going, wow, like, I know exactly what she means. Like, she's surprised that I even chose it. She's happy that I chose it. It's going to be easy.
I guess I've already expressed that I enjoy the Toadies, right?
Yes.
Okay.
In the past, you mean to me?
Yeah, like, I don't think it's necessarily a surprise.
It wasn't a, I don't think you've ever expressed, I think you've said you'd like those songs, but
yeah.
I don't remember you ever being like, I enjoyed the Toadies. I just know the type of 90s grunge music that you do enjoy, and this fits all in that. So
that's fair. Describe this 90s grunge album in one word, please and thank you.
Solid.
Yeah, bro. Let's see. I'm going to say tight. It is tighter than I expected it to be. It's not like noodly. It's not...
No.
Drawn out. It's all just very, it's a nice tight package.
I just want to write the song that the song should be and be. I love it. It's like a punk mentality too, but it's not punk. It's so fucking good. I was so happy with this album.
Good. I'm glad. Well, the next thing that we are going
to
be doing,
by the way, I have no idea what she's getting ready to say since we're caught up and she's just going
to
give it to me.
That's correct. We are going to be listening to the album Cosmos Factory by the band Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Ah, CCR. Awesome. So we're done now, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Absolutely.
It's fun still doing this.
Still doing it.
I got rid of those cinder blocks in the break.
I have to take a long piss.
You do? I have to take a poop, I think. So
this
we're both
is like your
to the
seventh
bathroom.
Shit of the day. It is noon. What? Seven shits.
Twice.
I come from a shitter. I come from a shitter.
All right, everyone. Thanks a lot.
You don't think I come from the water sounds southern?
Yeah, I mean, it does. Now you say it. Water. I like to think of it as a
water.
A New York person saying, I come from the water.
Water. All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.